Hello everyone, Bruce Edwin here with HollywoodSentinel.com. I'm speaking today with Tracy Reiner. Tracy, I'm glad to have you back with us. How are you doing today?
Thank you. I'm doing really good. How are you doing?
Excellent. I'm good. Thank you. I'm glad to be speaking with you again, as always. Tracy, when we last spoke, we covered some very interesting topics, but I know there's been some really cool new news happened with you since then. Please tell us about it. Let's jump right into that with this new, well, not a new group you've been involved with, but what has happened here?
A few years ago, I got a call to please join the Women's Club of Hollywood.
Okay.
That is one of the oldest women's clubs in the country. It was started by studio head daughters, I think in 1905, 1913. I don't have it in front of me, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But it's been around 113 years, something like that, so that makes it about 1905. It was started by the studio head's daughters and wives. It was a school and a clubhouse, and the daughters said, oh, we want to have a parade with flowers, and they started the Rose Parade. So the original group, and for the last 100 years, has been very, very powerful women in Hollywood. And in the last, I believe, 10, membership and, changed in the last 10 years, they came upon some harder times, and so a few years ago I jumped in to help them create a proper Hollywood venue for rentals for movies. It's a great base camp for productions. There's parking, all this stuff. So I was helping, and like any club, they have their issues, and I couldn't really do anything until by default they called me and said, could you run for president? And I said, me? Wait a minute. But the only other person there didn't really want to, who was able. You have to be a member for 2 years and on the board for 2 years, all these requirements. So
right.
Kind of on the phone, I'm in New Mexico right now. One of my family members passed away and has been remodeled the property here. They were like, well, you can do it from there. And they voted me in as president, which was sort of overwhelming. But when I posted that, I got such an amazing response. One, because most of the people I know are very concerned and very active in show business and in advocacy of issues. And so we are trying to reemerge, reconnect, and reassimilate and create what I believe the Women's Voice, the Women's Club of Hollywood, should continue for another 100 years being, and that is a voice of this new re-emerging, swooping, let's let girls have equal rights, etc. So it sort of played into my interest in helping girls get the ability to play Major League Baseball and some other organizations I was working with. So I'm trying to bring everyone together, because don't you think Hollywood or the Women's Club of Hollywood should be a major voice right now?
Well, yeah, definitely.
Going on.
Yeah, definitely. That's really cool. And as you've been speaking here, I just I verified, according to the New York Times, it was started, as you know, in 1913. So, yeah, 105 years. It's just huge. Now, this article I'm referencing here in the New York Times refers to Jean Harlow and the children of Cecil B. DeMille, Charlie Chaplin, Joan Crawford.
He was a teacher there. Charlie Chaplin was a teacher at the school there.
Wow. So this was a school. It began as a school for...
It was a school, an apartment, a clubhouse, a place to have tea, to do lectures, to put on a play, to do reading, do screenplay. I mean, it was a multi-purpose facility and still is a, major rental venue for the neighborhood, but the club itself. Haven't been getting very many new members. I don't think they quite knew how to update. We did that at the American Legion, Post 43 Hollywood, about 6 years ago, saying, you have 100 seat theaters, you just need a projector.
Yeah.
We can get that. They're 501c3s, both of them. So mostly it's about promotion. It's about some rah-rah.
Sure.
People who come there that are younger and say, oh my God, not only do I want to, post my event here, but how can I help this club? And it's not just for women. There's been male members.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting. Well, I know the building, of course. I didn't realize what it was, but I've passed this famous building there so many times. Of course, it's right next to the Dolby Theater, where, of course, the Oscars are held every year. And
we hooked them up with some film festival and Oscar parties and movie premiere and things like that. And so they are functioning. They're doing very well. But the voice of the Hollywood Women's Club is what needs to be amplified. And there's so many people that I know who are in other organizations that my goal is to just get everybody to merge and, you know, utilize the Women's Club of Hollywood as a banner, if you will, for unifying all of these groups of women.
Well, that's great. That's great. Why don't I give a shout out here of their website? Looks like it. Correct me if I'm wrong, WC for Women's Club, WCHollywood.org. So those professionals in Hollywood working in the industry that are, you know, good people, check it out, visit the site, and considering being a member and supporter. You know, it's really cool organization, obviously. And Tracy's president, so congratulations. It's really great.
I'm going to try. I'm going to give it my best shot to reconnect them with all of the city council departments and different departments. Of, you know, I have meetings next week in Gaffer with the chief police and all these different people to, you know, realign them and bring them back. Because most of those organizations used to have their board meetings because it's very private and have parking right on Hollywood and La Brea.
Well, I've seen that. They've got a huge parking lot. They've got the movie theater. They've got the conference room. They have banquet hall facility, kitchen, screening room, everything. I mean, it's really cool. So, and I think really it's no brainer. Who better than you to run this, be president with, I mean, being you just simply, you know everybody.
Yeah.
What's that?
I just don't want it to be lost or forgotten. I mean, that's
yeah.
Happened, but you know, women's baseball, and I just think it's silly. I think right now, the Women's Club of Hollywood needs to be a major voice in what's going on with the changes that are happening in the industry.
Well, that's really cool. After our talk, I'm kind of excited. I'm going to be speaking with a female director, and I'd love to support and work with. I don't really, never even really think of it, I guess, in terms of gender. I've just always, you know, never really thought of that division, but I guess now I'm kind of forced to. But there are so many talented women out there, and obviously more directors. And your family, of course, is, you know, including yourself, just exemplary of that fact. What do you feel is your, it should be the agenda now with what you're going to do with the club and with the industry in general regarding women?
Right now, it's just a wide open door. It's almost like permission. So many things are going to change and be affected. I mean, studio heads are changing, department heads are changing, city officials are changing, and that's so encouraging to me. And I spent 25 years hoping nobody would forget, separate from our Mippy, or on the side of our Mippy, helping people not forget that women play baseball.
Yeah.
Just recently, Frances Coppola stepped up and really supported and showed up at the Women's World Cup, and it was just fantastic.
I saw that, yeah.
You know, something you've been doing a really long time, someone will finally say, hey, what are you doing?
Right.
I can help you. Well, let me send these three people over there. And for me, I'm not a big front man. I like to stay on the side. I like to catalyst people together who end up much smarter or much more directed in the specific need than I am. And so it's more about that network, which is a women's network, which is what most women's organizations are. And
yeah.
So I'm just looking at most the building owners' wives and husbands to realize what an amazing opportunity was sort of missed just as everything was changing. I mean, we were going one way and now we're completely going another again. For me, or as Gina Davis said, Gina, we really thought all this stuff was sort of taken care of. We thought when we did League of Their Own and she played the president on a TV show and Louise and all these things, you really think something's going to change. And our group of the actors from the film have supported as many things as we can because it's silly to us because we do get included in many things, but not everybody does. So, you know, it's inclusion. It's all about inclusion. And so the Women's Club is open to inclusion of all people and all walks of life and voices, so that women's voice in Hollywood can be heard even more.
Well, that's really great. That's important. And you mentioned a line earlier about working with people smarter than you are, but I know you're being so humble with that statement, because in my view, you really are genius, quality person. And, you know, speaking of that, I mean, your background, I know we didn't cover this necessarily in some of our former interviews, but your background is, if I'm not mistaken, in the art of storytelling. Is that right, in terms of your scholarly education, at least?
Yeah, I went and tried to create a major for myself. I went to Bennington College and didn't really fit into the acting program comfortably, and I ended up taking sociology and ceramics and photography. And then my mom was like, "Are you sure this is the right place?" And I transferred to the New School for Social Research in New York City and stayed at a friend of hers in the apartment they had. And went to school there and worked on Saturday Night Live as a PA for 3 seasons.
Cool.
And I got to declare my major as a history of storytelling. And it was sort of a dispute between my mother and I, because I was studying Mayan iconography, hieroglyphics, and Japanese, and basically pictograms and mythology and religions and things. And she was like, "What are you doing?" But it made sense, and I got to declare my major there and then continue at a couple different schools even to further that. One, because my stepdad, Rob Reiner, had said to me years ago, you know, Hollywood is like a giant typewriter. You have to go live life, real life, but go do something for real, and then you can come back and tell a story about it.
I love that.
I was waffling on acting and writing and wasn't sure which I liked better, because we had so many filmmakers in my family. We all grew up assisting in different departments.
Yeah.
So I was always, you know, what are you going to do? Pick that one thing. And I never really believed in doing one thing. So here we are. I kind of do a lot of different things.
That's amazing. Two things popped in my mind when you were mentioning this. First, regarding storytelling, my very kind of elementary basic introduction into that, I guess, topic would be probably Joseph Campbell and his book Power of Myth, and of course videos on that. Is that just like low level academic, you know, aspect of this topic, or is he really the foundation, or who is the main, would you say, scholar in this regard, or is there any really?
I don't know if there is. I think just human communication is really the scholar, but if you think about it, sitting around a campfire telling stories is the oldest art form, all the way up to 5D hologram production. It's still storytelling, and it doesn't work if you don't tell a good story, no matter what your mechanism is.
Yeah.
Slur your words, if you don't have a good camera, if you're not, you know, fluent in understanding story delivery, those don't work. But when they do, it's one of the, it's the oldest art form and the newest format now.
Yes.
And it's something that's a really unifying subject.
I agree. Now, two other questions on that topic. Your family, obviously, and you are, in my view, just at the top of the so-called game, the industry, in the art of storytelling through filmmaking and production and film art. Why do you think, or is there a reason, why do you feel do you think it's, in other words, you just all got good, you know, great genius creative genes? Or was this like something that you were, your family were exposed to that made this creativity and implementation of it flourish? Or what do you think has created such a great legacy for your family, and can it be duplicated?
Sure it can. There's so many families. I once wanted to do a book called Generations of Storytelling, just about different families that work together. It's sort of, I don't know, we're Italian, so I thought it was, and my poor uncle had seven, you know, six nieces and three or four nieces and two daughters of his own and a son. So he had to kind of give it the work. teaching, you know, it was a lot of girls, I think.
Yeah.
He always said, I make movies because I want you to know what I was thinking, but I don't necessarily want to hear what you think about it. Which I first thought was weird, but now I really appreciate that.
It's honest. It's funny.
Well, for most people, we want to do our work, and then you don't really want to hear commentary.
Yeah.
As a film, you know, having the answer to something or an insight is positive, but, you know, with social media now, everybody runs rampant negative commentary, and, you know, families too, or groups of large girls, or large groups of girls, that happens. So I just thought that we were shown how it worked. We wanted to be with our families. We weren't really allowed to comment. We could only ask ourselves. We were always taught to just let the writers write. It's not a collective. And after a while, you want to try your own thing.
Interesting.
For me, I'm still on the fence. I mean, acting was much easier for me. I'm more comfortable expressing myself. And I was young, and you could get a lot of jobs. And I worked in casting and production. And so I had as many credits in production and helping friends. And for me, it was always strange because I didn't know all these people. I didn't have a working relationship with them. I knew them personally.
Right.
And so sometimes I meet people and they'll rant and rave about somebody and I go, I don't know. I just went, it was a yearly birthday party and said, hi, how are you? Love you. How's your family? I don't have to worry about quotes and negotiations and contracts and stuff with a lot of people because I just know them personally.
Sure.
They're just people. Just when I say, oh, I know them personally, it doesn't mean they're my friends. I know them like you would your neighbors. Or family,
right.
Not family friends.
Exactly.
So my experiences are very personal, and some are funny. Everybody's always like, oh, you're going to write a book. I never wrote a book because it's personal. It's not, I don't have some working experience I could.
Right.
People I have. Did 9 movies with Tom Hanks. I got to do and work with family members and people who knew me. But because I work production too, I get hired because I was reliable to not be over-impressed or not react to the person in the scene. I get put in scenes with big name actors because I wouldn't talk. I'd just say my lines and go home.
Well,
I was reliable in that way.
Which what?
I was reliable in that way.
Exactly.
I did a giant camera move. I need you to do a camera move and say 2 sentences in Greek and then disappear. That was going to take 7 hours to get the camera move. And I go, okay.
Well, that's cool. Now, there's obviously a lot of going on with the so-called political divide now. And I know I recently heard an article yesterday or read an article where Hollywood is getting stereotyped in with Washington or rather with liberal views and the media and things of this sort. And I try to keep an open mind and see everyone's perspective. But also I saw yesterday on one particular site, I won't give it any free publicity, but people were just smearing actors and saying, oh, they don't have a brain and they can't, you know, all they know is how to pretend and just really hateful and mean. And I think there's some of that on both sides, but I guess my question is, with that type of thought out there, how important, in my view, I think it's still incredibly important. How important do you think is Hollywood and the art of storytelling to culture and society, and why?
Such a loaded subject. And there's been a 100-year history between Hollywood and the military, so it's always strange for me because politics are just ranting. Both sides. Just ranting.
Yeah.
Promises, lies, you know, just propaganda. So for me, unless we're saving the animals, you know, helping the planet, turning over technologies in an open way to let people use what they need, I think both sides. So.
You think what?
Sides, I don't do flags, I don't do colors, I don't do teams, which to my family chagrin, I like the sport. As much of a baseball fan as I could be, considering how much I've been around.
Yeah.
At the same time, I don't take it personally, and I don't join with that. I'm, like I said, I'm representing a mission that I would like to see accomplished with the Women's Club of Hollywood. It doesn't mean I'm a feminist. It doesn't mean I'm a liberal. It doesn't mean anything. It means I think that club should not disappear because that voice is obviously empty right now in that area.
Yeah.
It needs to, you know, there's a Beverly Hills Club and a Carmel Monterey Club and there's a Pasadena Club, but there's not the voice of Hollywood women feeling comfortable enough or having a place, a venue, or, you know, the venue slash microphone to be heard.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't want this one to slip aside as everybody's doing these single subject women's manifesto kind of clubs.
Yes.
I think this is a massive, just like the American Legion. I was like, wait a minute, there's so many milk.
So many what? Tracy? Okay. So I think we might. Okay, Tracy lost your connection there for a minute. You back?
Yeah. I'm here. I didn't even move.
Okay. Yeah, the line cut there for a minute. Now we can hear you.
Okay. So, like my experience at Post 43 Hollywood, the American Legion.
Yes.
There were many, many military organizations, and it's not like the goal was to make Post 43 the main one. It was about to let it become a banner and house and sponsor, or even if not monetarily, in principle, some of these other military organizations, and to unify them.
Mm-hmm.
And the same is with my goal is with the Women's Club of Hollywood. I'm not platforming myself at all. I need some of the amazingly powerful women that I know to not, you know, maybe help me not let this disappear.
Sure, sure. Well, that makes sense. And I think if, you know, I mean, you mentioned it was a loaded question. I agree. I guess it was. And I guess every interviewer or even audience can have their own agenda when they're listening or speaking. But just knowing, as I think we both know, the history of Hollywood has been very pro-American in many regards and been used for that purpose. So it can definitely, you know, it's your
perspective. Even that helped start the Post. Ted, oh, I'm going to forget his name. There was an actor at Lasky Studios who went around and got all of the actors, whether they were military or not, to build help and promote the American Legion.
Yes.
After World War II. So,
interesting.
You know, also, they made a boxing arena. That's like the big Bally's gym in Hollywood. It was a boxing arena and had bigger fights than Madison Square Garden.
That's huge.
And so
that's big.
It, and it was a bunch of movie people who loved them. So there's always been a relationship about what, you know, America wants to symbolize in its stories. You know, when you talk to Europeans, they don't understand half of what America does. And understandably, everybody eats different things, has different ceremony, has different, you know,
yes,
ways that they approach helping people.
Mm.
And the ideas that we've been putting on the table at the Women's Club, or we did at the American Legion, or I did at the Women's Baseball Museum, are all about how you can give and create in-kind trade as opposed to just look for funding. And that they needed a side business of running it as a venue, but that their organization itself needed to reach out to everything from the City Council to the Girl Scouts to the, you know, women in film and women's division of the DGA. And they just needed to create an open environment, invite people, and create that story that they're still there, if you will. So I guess I'm there to help them create a new story. Chapter.
Well, you definitely are, and I think it's so cool that you're part of it, and you are.
I was so blown away that I'm really embarrassed, but I just posted it and said I'm just going to see what a reaction is, and so many people were like, "I'm going to join," and you're there, and see, that's all you needed. You needed to open the door and create an invitation and permission to come and a call to come.
Exactly.
People do it.
Well, I think it's perfect for you because you have so much to say and that you are doing, and I think it's certainly perfect for the club. So I want to just, you know, again, congratulations on that. Listeners, again, Tracy Reiner, I want to congratulate her this week and month on president of Women's Club of Hollywood, www.wchollywood.org. Tracy, I could talk with you forever. I know we've got to wrap up here now, but please hold the line, and I'll be right back with you. And any final thing you want to tell our listeners and readers before we leave here?
I just want to thank you for reaching out to me to help me do this, and I really appreciate it, and I hope that it sends a message out to people, women, actors, production people, city council people, building owners, venue owners, whoever it is right in that area. It's time to represent. It's a new team. And so I invite everyone to please participate.
Tracy Reiner, it's an honor, and thank you. Spruce with HollywoodSentinel.com, speaking with Tracy Reiner, Hollywood legend. Tracy, thank you so much, and listeners, we'll be back with you soon.